This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise is a member of the Deliberate Noise Network and can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. If you have any comments or feedback or anything like that that you would like to leave for me regarding this episode or any of the other episodes of Sci-Fi Noise or any of the shows in the Deliberate Noise Network, please send it to Derek@deliberatenoise.com. That's D-E-R-E-K. Now, I recently caught up with all of the episodes of Dollhouse. Dollhouse is the show on Fox that is put out by Joss Whedon. You know, Joss Whedon is the creator. And I really like it. I'm gonna try not to spoil anything. I really like it, but it's already been announced that the show is canceled. I think they have like three or four more episodes. Wait a minute. No, closer to five more episodes left. I'm pretty sure there's five more episodes left, and then that's it. The story will be complete. Well, as complete as can be expected from a show that never really caught on. It, to me, some of the critics were split on it. I didn't read a whole lot of reviews, but some people liked it, and others refer to it as disappointing. But just in passing, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, no, Joss Whedon's disappointing Dollhouse. And I don't know if it's disappointing from a creative end, disappointing in how it was marketed and presented, or if it's just disappointing because of the ratings. However, I just want to say that from a creative point, the only thing that I really found disappointing is that, like a lot of Joss Whedon things, the network got involved and kind of made a mess of things. When Firefly, another Joss Whedon production, came out, it's very well known that he gave them, you know, a specific order that he wanted things presented in, and they, Fox, change the order of things to what they thought would have been a better presentation, and as a result things got kind of confused. Because I remember seeing the first episode of Firefly on TV and was wondering if I had missed something, because I did not know what was going on. I really didn't know what to expect, which is okay with me sometimes. Kind of like with the Dollhouse, I didn't know what to expect. But I wasn't expecting pretty much a space western, and I really wasn't expecting it to not make as much sense as it didn't make, you know. But like I said, that's what happens when you air things out of order. There was another show, pretty much around that time, maybe a little later, that Fox had on Friday nights, called Johnny Zero. It's about a guy who, I think he gets out of prison or something, and he's trying to put his life back together. It was very well done. It was very stylish. I could tell, just like everybody else could tell, that they were pretty going after the Hispanic market, Hispanic Latino market, Spanish-speaking market, I guess. But the problem was, is after, like, maybe... No, once I've, you know, because I watched like all of the episodes, and the story didn't make sense because they introduce him and they introduce his situation in the first episode, and then in the second episode, There were a couple of things that happened, and like he, you know, it was kind of weird because it's like he knew some people, and I guess I forgot something from the first episode that I remember this person, and then they showed the third episode, and then that's when he's meeting this person he met in the second episode, and then he got, you know, he kind of reconciled with his ex, but then the next episode they were back to feuding, and then that's when I found out, oh, okay, you know, that's, I shouldn't say found out, but that's when I realized, all right, they aired these episodes out of order. Now, when you have a show like Law and Order, or, you know, most of the CSI, something like that, it doesn't really matter what order that they're released in, because nothing really has any impact from one episode to the next. But when you have a show that has a running subplot throughout the entire series, then when you start airing things out of order like that, it's kind of blatant. Now, apparently, not only is that what they did with Firefly, where they aired things all crazy out of order, but I'm under the impression they did the same thing with the Dollhouse. Now, the Dollhouse is basically a story of a high-tech whorehouse, okay? These beautiful people come in, they get their minds wiped, and new personalities are placed in their bodies. And not only new personalities, but new skills, even physical disabilities in one case. And these people, once their minds are basically overwritten, they are sent out on engagements, is what they're called. But a lot of these engagements usually include rich guys having sex with them. All right. You know, rich ladies too, but mostly it's the rich guys. So most of the clients who, even ones that you're supposed to have some sort of sympathy for, like Patton Oswalt plays a character who's like grieving over his dead wife. And so, the main character gets imprinted with her memories, so that they can have like an anniversary date, you know, the date of their anniversary, he can, you know, spend some time with his wife. That's still a little pervy, okay? But the way I understand it is some of the early episodes are played out of order, so that they could kind of amp up the action, you know. The problem is that when you do something like that, especially when there was a subplot about investigating into the Dollhouse, which I don't believe was touched on in this one episode that I know was played completely out of order, but there was also this whole thing of trust, you know, of trust between the handler and his doll. The handler is the person representing the company who goes out on engagements in the background, making sure that nobody really hurts these dolls. They were showing how this guy, this one, the handler for the main character, had this real strong affection for his doll, and he wanted to keep her safe. But, you know, they didn't really build up to that. It was just like there, you know, here's a slight spoiler. He like ends up taking a bullet for her. And then later on, things go back to kind of like he's starting to develop this affection for her. And it's like really weird, you know, and I really wish they just let him tell the story that they wanted to. But to me, that seems to be the par for the course with Joss Whedon and Fox. However, one of the big reasons why I think that Dollhouse never really caught on, besides the fact that it's basically a show about prostitution, is that those early episodes were one and done. They were not really engaging on their own. Okay? Joss Whedon has this way of build. He wants to tell a grand storyline, grand story arcs, and he builds up to them. And then in the next season, he builds on top of that, basically. That's why when you had Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I don't care what anybody says, that first season was pretty damn boring, especially compared to the rest of them. However, nobody really had a good sense of what Joss Whedon's storytelling was all about at that time, okay? So it looked like a bunch of Monster of the Week episodes, and then later on, you see, okay, well, he's actually building towards something. But kind of like the TV show Supernatural, which also started off as a Monster of the Week and then later built on and built up and built up. And so now it is one of the best shows on TV, genre-specific shows, I should say. Because I can't really compare something like Supernatural to something like Sons of Anarchy or Friday Night Lights, which are just like on a totally different level. You know, those shows to me are up there with shows like The Wire and The Shield in terms of things that I like. But Supernatural is up there with like Babylon 5 for me, which is one of my favorite shows ever. But not the first episode, just like not the first season, I should say. Just like the first season of Babylon 5 is kind of downplayed as not being very good, although that sets the foundation for the rest of the show. That's how the early episodes of Buffy were for me, and that's how the first episodes of Dollhouse were for me. The thing is that if you watch the first few episodes, like the first maybe 6 or 7 episodes of Dollhouse season 1, maybe not that many, but if you watch the first ones, you might not get it. In fact, I guarantee you definitely won't get it unless you're watching like the whole season at once. If you sit down with the DVDs and you're watching the whole season, then it's like, okay, now it all makes sense. And especially with a lot of the stuff that they built on for the second season from the first season, all right, it makes a lot more sense now. But when you're watching things live, you don't have that luxury. So it's one of those deals where it's like either you like the show or you don't. And if the show starts off kind of boring and, let's face it, stupid, then you're not going to stick around. And I think that's what really happened with Dollhouse, is that a lot of people watch those early shows and then never even bother to come back for further episodes. And that's something that happens all too often on TV. All right? Because TV doesn't have the... TV has to build up the story for later episodes, later chapters, unless you're doing a throwaway show like a Law & Order or a Law & Order SVU or a Law & Order Criminal Intent, or the Law & Order, the other one, where they were trial by jury, which was actually my favorite Law & Order, by the way. When you have a movie, you only have to spend 20 minutes setting up the rest of the movie, okay? But with a television series, you usually have to spend an entire episode, entire 44 to 48 minutes, just setting up the basic premise and putting things where you want them to go. If you're doing a sci-fi slash fantasy slash horror-based show, then especially with one that you want to tell on an epic scale, then it's going to take more than just one episode. Problem is, if you don't grab people really quick, especially nowadays, where there's just so many other avenues of entertainment, then you're going to get lost in the shuffle. And I think that that's what happened with Dollhouse, is that it got lost in the shuffle. And then now if you hear people talk about, oh yeah, you should really check out Dollhouse, then you realize that you're going to have to go, you think that you might have to go all the way back to the beginning of the first season, which, let's face it, is kind of boring. I had that same problem with the show Fringe. I watched the first let's say 3 or 4 episodes, and I was bored silly. I was like, you know, this is like the X-Files. And, you know, I only liked X-Files for like maybe a season and a half, and I think it was like season 2 or 3. And then I just got bored with it because there's like nothing. You had the feeling that no answers were ever going to be given, that nothing was ever going to be resolved, and that's when I was done with it, you know. Fringe started off that way, but Fringe actually answers questions, you know. Even questions you didn't even know you had, Fringe will answer them. I'm saying this as someone who watched the first 3 episodes of season 1 and then stopped until the first episode of season 2, you know, and I thought it was good. I wasn't even going to be bothered with Fringe, but I heard a lot of people raving about it, so I decided to check it out. And I'm glad I did. However, I don't think that a lot of people are going to do that with Dollhouse, because while the early episodes of Fringe seemed familiar, the early episodes of Dollhouse just didn't. You know, not only did they not feel familiar, they also they felt kind of skeevy, you know. So I can honestly see a bunch of people just not wanting to tune back in. The only reason I tuned back in is because I had so many people whose opinions I respected tell me the show is a lot better than those early episodes. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. And if it wasn't for these friends of mine evangelizing the show, I would not have given it a second thought. I really would not. But I'm kind of glad I did. I think I'm pretty sure I saw all of the episodes in season 1. I may have liked not seen 1 or 2, possibly, but I'm pretty sure I saw all of them. But once I started watching, especially the last 6 episodes of season 1, I really saw where he was going. I really started to get into the show. And then there's, if you watch the DVD, there's an extra episode that was filmed but never aired, called Epitaph 1. And Epitaph 1 kind of, it's like, I don't know why they call it Epitaph 1, because it seemed like a prologue to the, I said, well, not really. It's kind of like set in the future of the Dollhouse. So it could be like the epitaph after the season is over with, after the show is over with. But at the same time, everything that was hinted at in Epitaph 1 is starting to take shape in season 2. So it's kind of like a prologue epitaph. You'll see. But I think it's a great show. I think that people who don't like the I don't know, the almost jokey smugness of Buffy the Vampire Slayer might be able to get on board with Dollhouse, although Dollhouse is a lot more cynical. It's not as kind of, I don't know, Firefly to me was like partially fun and at the same time partially gloomy. You know, maybe it's because everything was always dark. It was kind of gloomy, but anyway. However, if you look at, however, as I was saying, if you look at the early episodes of Dollhouse, the show is really nothing like that now. You know, once it gets towards the end, kind of like if you watch the early Monster of the Week episodes of Buffy or even Supernatural, then later on those shows became drastically different. I really wonder what Joss Whedon would have been able to do had Firefly lasted more than 11 episodes. It was 11 or 13. However many episodes and a movie, you know. Anyway, Dollhouse is definitely worth checking out. All right, there's a recommendation I also want to make for a comic book. It's from Boom Studios, so it might be a little bit more difficult to find if you just go to a regular local comic shop. In fact, I don't know how well a lot of people are ordering this book, but it is called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Which, well, yes, that is a Philip K. Dick novel. Basically, what they're doing is they're not adapting the story of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. What they're doing is they're basically putting new pictures to the text. They're taking the text, they're adding, they got a comic book artist, he's adding pictures to it, and then they're putting it out every month. It's going to be like a 24-part series, and each piece is, I want to say, $3.99. So it's going to be a very expensive endeavor. However, it's worth it. It is top-notch storytelling, obviously. The artwork, the entire package is really, really good. Even the binding of the book is good. It's what used to be, I don't know what they call it now, but I know it used to be called the prestige format. If you're reading comics in the 80s and 90s, it's the same way that they would do The Dark Knight Returns, where the binding is, it's not regular comic book binding. Anyway, check it out. It's from Boom Studios. It's called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which apparently was the same story that the movie Blade Runner was very loosely based on. I remember reading Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep a long time ago. I think I read it because of the Blade Runner connection, but it's so much more than Blade Runner, you know. And as far as I know, this is unabridged, so all of the words are still there, you know, even where, you know, he said, comma, she said, you know, even though they're describing the picture, basically, they still put the picture there. So, I mean, it's really a really interesting experiment. And even though I know I'm looking into the future already, I'm kind of curious to see what Boom Studios does next in this format, you know? Because, like I said, it's not a straight adaptation like Classics Illustrated or anything like that. Or, you know, the adaptation of Blade Runner. No, this is totally different. I think I called it the graphic novelization eyes. Yeah, it's weird. But it's really, really good. Check it out. There's also Back Matter that's written by big name comic creators. I know that Warren Ellis was one, Matt Fraction was another, I want to say Ed Brubaker. They have like kind of like behind the scenes stuff in the back. It's really, really a good package. I know that some people are waiting for like a series of graphic novels, but because this is Boom Studios and this isn't DC or Marvel, there's no guarantee that there's going to be a graphic novel. It's not going to be a trade. There's no guarantee it's going to be a trade, I should say. It's not. There's no guarantee it's going to be collected. So I want to show my support for this now. And if it is one later on and it turns out that it's also just as nice, I might double dip, you know. I might get it again, or I might just get it and sell my original issues. I don't know. But I am enjoying what I'm reading so far, and I would recommend that other people who like science fiction and who enjoy it also check it out. Like I said, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, Boom Studios, get it.
trouble. We're gonna be